broadcasting live from our Ford Recovery Radio studios located in downtown historic Ford Recovery. You're listening to Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, which is powered by Wayne Street Market in historic Ford Recovery. Without further ado, here's your host and co-hosts, Mr. Bob Stogler and Mr. Harold Feely on Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee.
Hey, welcome everybody to tonight's FR Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. As you can tell,
They're not here.
Bubba and Fee's not here. Jack is here tonight, though.
Yes, sir.
And we have some special guests. As everyone, I think, has heard by now, this Saturday night at the gymnasium, at our Hall of Fame banquet, the 1971 team is getting honored. And we're lucky enough to have two of the stars of that team with us tonight in Ed Snyder and Ron May. And I think, Neil, you said that John Wendell might call in?
Yeah,
we'll call John.
Yeah, we'll call John.
So a little bit.
In the next hour.
Yeah, we'll give John
whenever we feel like it.
just to start off with, just on a sour note, Jack and I are here for not a real good reason. As some of you have heard, Fee, you know, who is an absolute brother to many of us, lost his brother Joe on Monday. And I'm not sure how many people know Joe Feely, but if you ever would have been lucky enough to know Joe, he was the type of guy that when he'd walk into a room, he would just light up the room.
Yeah, especially in his adult life
after
he went to Chicago and just turned in. He was a rock star.
I was fortunate enough to see him in action in Chicago a few years back. And then, of course, on numerous occasions, I was lucky enough to get an invite from Harold and Kim to come down to Harold's for Christmas Eve. And, of course, Joe was always always there.
Yes.
And like I said, he not only lit up the room, but the part that makes this hard for guys that are real close to Harold and Kim and the rest of Feely's, and we know that when he came into the room, he was the life of the party, but you could tell that family adored Joe.
Yeah.
And they are going through a pretty damn tough time right now. So our thoughts are with the Feelys. Joe was just one hell of a good guy.
Did you or Jack, did any of you guys ever get up to Chicago and experience going somewhere with him?
Absolutely.
Tell a story or two. It happens with everybody.
He used to work at ran a place called the Purple Pig. And I was me and my wife was with Andy and Connie Stockland. We went there, and if anyone gets Facebook and they see all these people that's writing notes about Joe, and they all these, if you knew him one time, if you see him in action one time up there, all these people speak the exact same voice. You know, when he would come, he made you feel like he was the only person there. He would come, he'd order for you what you should drink, what you should eat. Women absolutely adored him. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, you know, he's the type of guy, like, you know, at this Purple Pig in Chicago, you know, we got there and there's a line 50 feet long to get in the door. And he knew he was coming. And, you know, he didn't. He knew me from just the fact that, but Harold, he knows I'm Harold's friend. And that's the type of guy he was. So, by God, here he comes, right across around that line. Bill, you know, Bert, and, you know. Then we introduced him to Connie and Andy, and he took us right around all these people. And I'm sure they thought, what the hell is going on? And then he went in there, and he ordered for us, and he just treated you like a king. So our hearts are, I don't know if Jackie have anything to add to that, but our hearts are with the Feelys because he was one of a kind.
Now, you know, just reading the things that other people wrote, you know, Joe left Fort Recovery and he came back a couple times a year and stuff, but you can tell that he took that passion and that zest for life and he spread it to thousands of people up in Chicago. Yep. And you know, I guess at the end of the day, if you can do that, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. Neil's just showing a sign there from
this
the Metro.
This is one that Cody shared.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, Smiling Joe Fielder, which is what they called him, because everybody knew he had a smile on his face. And, of course, everyone knew his love for wine.
The big Metro is one of the big restaurants up there. Smiling Joe Fielder, raise a glass to you.
So we're thinking Harold and the family. And and then the other deal we want to talk about, and this was a sudden shock this morning, and you guys, all of us sitting around this table, can relate to this, is the passing of Chuck Hine. Now, you know, you guys grew up with Chuck, you know, more so than I. But in the later years, when we did Four Recovery Radio, when we did the morning show,
Breakfast with Bill,
Chuck was
you're a big, brutal.
Oh yeah,
I'm surprised
I got
you didn't
Chuck
kill
all
him
the
then.
Time, and he came in and did some shows with us, and we laughed and had so much fun. And I personally am going to miss the hell out of Chuck Hine. He's always treated me like a damn king, and anyone who knows Chuck knows he loved Four Recovery. And Jack, I know your wife, of course, worked with him for years, and you guys, I think, graduated with him.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, 1971. Neil told the story, I think. Go ahead, Neil, about talking to him last week.
Yep, I don't remember where I ran into him, grocery store or the post office somewhere, and he said, "You going to the Hall of Fame thing on next Saturday?" I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "I can't wait for that." He could not. He was living the last 10 days before that was his thing, that he was going to be
really looking forward
in hog
to that
heaven
night.
Yeah. At that. It's sure wish he could have waited another week.
Yeah.
And everybody got a Chuck story too. You know,
yes.
Chuck was as passionate of a Fort Recovery Indians fan as there's ever been. And I remember him throwing his car keys out.
I think we're up north, okay? And his brother Dan played. So that tells you about the time frame of it. So Chuck and Charlie are behind us. And I'm thinking I'm with P. And I don't know if he was with Jack, but I'm with Big P. And a call went not our way. And it went against Dan. And Chuck got up in a rage, screams like a wild man, and he threw his car keys in the middle of the floor. And he sat down, and he looked at Charlie, and he said, "Dad, I just threw my car keys in the middle of the floor." Charlie says, "You did what?" And he did. Luckily, our ball boy, you know, our manager, ran out there and got him real quick before an official did and all that stuff and gave him back to him. But that was a classic story from Chuck Hine.
He was passionate, and there's not anybody in the community that's got a bigger heart than what Chuck did.
I agree.
Yep. So
our thoughts are with the Hine, Angelica, and the whole Hine family. And
God bless them all.
God bless them all. There's two great guys that we lost there over the last few days, and we hate it. So anyways, we're going to take a break. And when we come back again, we're going to turn this to where it's a little bit more of a jovial type atmosphere and talk about what I think everybody in this room loves, and that is high school basketball and a time when Fort Recovery was at its best.
And guys that were pretty good at it, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Neil, take us away. We'll be right back.
Winter's here, and what helps warm you up better than a big old pot of chili? Wayne Street Market has everything you need for your family's favorite recipe. All kinds of seasonings, beans, tomato soup and tomato juice, fresh and canned tomatoes, onions, peppers, crackers, shredded cheese, and of course the ground chuck. Get everything you need to help warm up your family with a big pot of chili at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 begins an interesting business year. Has your business experienced change within your operation? Or maybe you've undergone the loss of internal critical personnel, a trusted banker, or advisor. Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action on how to navigate these challenges in your business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesday, you can get special prices on our famous wings and draft beers. Wednesday night, get $3 off of any of our large pizzas. And Thursday, you can get our tenderloin basket. On Friday and Saturday evenings, we offer a sirloin steak or all-you-can-eat chicken that both include our salad bar and your choice of potato and a dinner roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern for some great home cooking.
Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat chili supper on Friday night, January 21st. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with St. Henry. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the FREA Scholarship Fund. Get to the St. Henry boys' basketball game early on January 21st and enjoy the FREA Chili Supper with all the fixins, serving from 4:30 to 6:30. The Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters will be holding a booster membership bash on Friday, January 21st at Berica Lanes following the boys' basketball game with St. Henry. All current and newly signed up booster members in attendance will receive 2 free drink tokens. If you aren't a member, or if you have friends or family who aren't members but you think they should be, drag them out to the bowling alley for some fellowship, a few drinks, and help get them signed up. While tow-and-go tickets will be available, and maybe a few other raffles will be going on. Get out to Mary Lanes for the Athletic Boosters Booster Bash on Friday, January 21st, after the St. Henry game, and get yourself and your friends signed up to be members of the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee, with some fill-ins tonight. Me and my brother Jack, and we have some, and of course Neil, as always, is here. He's running the show, and we have some special guests tonight. Like I mentioned before, the year was 1971. So, for those who don't know, every year we tend to have a Hall of Fame up here at the gymnasium, a Sports Hall of Fame. And our thought was last year, so a couple of us had gotten together and thought, you know what? 50 years ago, now again, this was last year when COVID changed our minds. 50 years ago was our first and only boys state championship, and our first Fort Recovery. It was Fort Recovery's first state championship in any sport. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's correct.
I think team-wise, yeah.
Right. And I thought, you know what? That'd be kind of cool. Because we have a lot of deserving guys, individuals that can get in to get into the Hall of Fame yet, but it'd be really fitting that 50 years after 1971 that we inducted that team into the Hall of Fame, being the first state champion ever. Well, like I said, COVID's changed that, so we put her off till this year. And I'll tell you what, I think it was. I think back to those times and just reflect me. I'll just, you know, like I was saying off air. You know, I was I graduated in 77, 6 years after you guys. So I was a sixth grader. So I'm going to reminisce with you, but my facts might be a little bit weird. But I'll tell you what, I was a lucky enough kid that my dad took me to all games. You know, I just wish all dads would do that with their kids or give them that opportunity. And I was lucky enough, me and Jack, to be raised in that household. So, you know, going back to that day, to that, I'm talking era. See, so I can start watching basketball games and Dad would drag me to see Tom Bryan play. So that was 1967. So Fort Recovery had just started getting teams that were state contenders back in 1967 was our first one maybe ever. For maybe at least before the Bob Feely and all those days, fair to say.
Yeah, since the Bob Feely Herald chain.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So
it'd been a while.
So we had that team in 67. Followed it up in 69 with the Heidi Meyring, Dale Metzger, that team, which was one hell of a team. And you guys were both on that team.
Yep.
Monroe and Wally Tin. And,
Yep. Tremendous team. And then, of course, in 71, you guys, as seniors, followed through. So I guess my first question to you guys was, do you think the success that we had, did those teams, being on those teams, make much of a difference as far as getting you used to that whole, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. You know, that type of thing is really contagious. When I was coaching later in life, I always loved the fact that when we had good teams that I saw little kids playing everywhere around that town, and they wanted to be the kind of team that would be the next team to make the run. And so, yeah, I think it was that way. I think maybe even more importantly, the fact that we were playing against every day in practice some of the best players in the state of Ohio in our division and in our class. I mean, I went against Ken Hybe and Dale Metzger and those guys when I was a freshman and a sophomore. And I tell you what, it was a lesson every day when you went through practice that way. And it just makes your younger players better to be playing against that kind of competition, as well as watching it and, you know, getting the feel for what it's like.
So Ron, go ahead.
I was an eighth grader. Tom Bryant was shooting foul shots. Picked me up by the collar and says, rebound for me. Well, it was no rebound. Everything come through the net. Don't throw it back to me. Bounce pass it back to me.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. That's what we did. That's what he wanted.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Tom Bryan, my dad used to do all kinds of things on the farm, and, you know, being Neil's neighbor over there, we put a rim in back of our garage back there, which is a separate building behind the house that I grew up in. And Neil used to shoot, by the way, from the first row of tomatoes.
I bet he was good,
big
dude.
Hook shot, yeah. But Tom Bryan
had my famous hook shot. I made one once.
You know, that was the time before you could get into the gym and play. You started the first day of practice, the first day you were in the gym. And he was over there at our house all the time. And so I was playing against Tom Bryan when I was, you know, a lot. And not much of a player at that particular time, but I had one of the better rims around at that time.
So soft rim.
Yeah, we got to play a lot.
So before we go any further, I guess we should talk about who was on that team. Now, we have it on paper here. Can you guys go through the members of the 71 championship team?
Oh, well, it was Dilworth and Snyder, Reinhardt, me, Don Judy. Who am I missing on the front row? I got the picture in my garage.
Senior was Don Eichenauer was on
Don
there.
Eichenauer was there.
John Wendell,
his brother Dick Wendell.
Mike Denny
was on that team.
Yep. Steve Greasup and Fred Eisenberg.
Yeah.
There you go.
Those were most of the players.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's everybody on there that I saw.
Yep.
Mike Wilson. Oh, we forgot.
Oh, yeah, Mike Wilson.
There you go.
So going into that year, Did you know? Hey, by the way, let's throw this in there because we might have some listeners of the other sex in here, which is also a big part of the team. Who was cheerleaders on your team? Come on, that puts you in. You better know this.
Yeah, well, Karen Smith, who is now Karen Meyer, Judy Timmerman from the Timmermans out on the corner, Sharon Witter, who I think's last name is Walls now. And Beth Ramel. Nofziger.
Yep.
And I'm missing one. Which one am I missing, Ross?
Ramel.
Oh, yeah. Cindy Ramel-Link.
Yeah. Oh, big ass star.
Yeah. The great thing about that is I think that all the way through, we felt like with the team, the coaches, the managers, the cheerleaders, the fans, you know, all the people, that they were all a big part of it. I think from the beginning it was easy for us to see when we went to the first games of the year and we saw the lines waiting to get in to watch us play, because back then they didn't do pre-sale tickets. I mean, you had to get in line and wait there for 2 hours to be able to get it. You know, if the gym got full or the fire marshal said that's it, they shut her off. And, you know,
I was at the end of a few of those.
But I think everybody was a big part of that. And certainly I think they remember. And hopefully we'll have a good representation from all those areas on Saturday night.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
So at what point in the season did you start thinking state championship?
I don't know if that ever happened, a state championship. We just wanted to be as good as we could possibly be. But when we got beat at Versailles, our last game of the year, we got beat at Versailles.
Yeah.
It finally maybe come home to some of us that says, we need to get better. We need to do something different. And it went from there.
Yeah. So, going into that season, did you guys know we're going to be pretty damn good this year?
We're supposed to be good. I don't know if it's damn good, but
yeah. Well, it was one of those every other year things, 67, 69, 71, 73.
You know, and it's in it. So let's talk about the coaches, because we touch on the cheerleaders, and we touch on the players. Who all was on that coaching staff?
Well, Al Souder.
Of course,
Coach
Al.
Coach Al.
Chuck Etzler. And Larry Wilberding. Then we had Mr. Kanapke, our principal or superintendent, and Who was the guy that lived over here on...
Paul Beisner.
Paul Beisner.
Paul Beisner.
Yeah. Oh, he was there then? I was thinking he didn't come till later.
No. And, of course, we had the infamous scorekeeper.
Mr. Williams.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ernie Williams. He's
Ernie
awesome.
Williams. Yep.
Ernie Williams. So, go ahead.
Well, so did... Was there any talk by the coaches as far as, like... A goal for district championship, goal for the league championship. You know, was there any preset? This is what we want to accomplish.
You know, I don't really think that was communicated verbally, but after what had happened in '69 and the fact that we had a lot of players get experience the next year when we had a really nice year, which would have been Ron and I's junior year. That was when we were, but I mean, our junior year, we had a nice year too, got beaten in the district finals that year. But I think we felt like we had a shot. And, you know, there are always some pieces that you wonder how they're going to come together. But the way that we got the blend from the younger players that came in and the way we as seniors were able to stay healthy for the entire year. You know, things may have been different in '69 when we were sophomores if it wouldn't have been for health and the bad things that happened with that. So we were able to stay basically injury-free for the most of the year. And the way that we were able to, I think, gel together, we got the feeling pretty early in the year that we had a chance to make a run. Now there were times when you had to back up and say, you know, we're going to do some things a little bit differently. We're going to get a little bit better. We're going to have to make sure we don't take the foot off the gas pedal, or you know, anybody can knock us off. But you know, I think we had that feeling, and it was our goal.
It was there. Nobody was there. Talked about.
Right.
We didn't talk about it. You know, it was just and the third game of the year, we get beat by Bryan.
Yeah.
In Jay County, we get beat by Bryan. It's a school half the size of what we are, but they had great players.
Oh, they did. Weigel. I remember a Weigel kid. Yep. Maybe a Minch.
Yeah. Two Minch kids.
Shane Lyon, maybe?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
What was this?
They had gravel under their bleachers. Now, I can remember that. Their under their bleachers was gravel. I knew that because I went there a few years later and actually played on it on a Sunday. I can't remember what the reason for that, and they had gravel under their damn bleachers.
That I don't
think about. That. That's a fact.
Don't remember.
Now, I don't know if we played them at Bryant that year and got beat.
Yeah.
Is that where we were?
Sure, nah, I think we played them at Portland.
Oh, okay.
We beat them at Portland. I think they beat us at St. Henry. You know, we didn't play very many home games.
No, we had two home games. We beat Bryant at St. Henry, and we played them at Portland.
Okay. And they beat us at Portland.
Yep.
Hey, and by the way, Ron May brought the actual scorebook here.
Yes.
And he's got all the facts. Now, I don't know how in the hell he got this scorebook.
Signed by Ernie.
He's got a lot of eraser marks beside the Ron May name, so I don't know what the hell. He averaged 28 a game? I can't believe that.
I can't read. I don't have my glasses.
We're looking at that. Bryant? Bryant?
That was the coach.
Here.
No, I got him in my pocket.
Oh, okay.
That place, Burn, Indiana.
Yeah, we play him at Burn.
Ah, well, you know what? And they beat us at Burn.
At Burn. No.
I got you.
Then we took them to St. Henry, and we beat them at St. Henry.
Yeah, whooped
them. And you know what? It is interesting.
By nine.
As you read the scores, like the score of that Bryan game was 77-73. You rarely see a basketball score in the 50s now.
Yeah, and that's with no three-pointer.
We didn't have three-pointers back in the day. We just had Ed Snyder.
And Kevin Dilworth. He did okay, too.
Oh, yeah.
From out there.
So, we take a break or
two? While we're on break, I'm going to call John Wendell and let
him throw
his tier three or 48 cents worth in.
Yep. Perfect. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you want to mow faster and ride smoother, you need a Ferris zero-turn mower. Only Ferris mowers have patented independent suspension technology that smooths out uneven turf. You'll be able to mow faster and longer with less fatigue. Whether you're a professional cutter or just want to mow like one, Ferris mowers get more done in less time. So visit K&L Tractor today and test drive the most comfortable riding zero-turn in the industry, Ferris. Experience suspension.
It seems like the most entertaining things on TV these days are those funny insurance commercials. Hi, I'm Connor Rammel with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, you need someone who knows the difference between insuring a farm and an economy automobile. As your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, I know that our area and our neighbors have unique needs. When it comes to insurance, think local. And if you want a funny joke, I'll do my best. Find us online at FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
Hello, I'm Harold Feely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales in Ford Recovery. With the colder weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking all fluid levels, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights for your worry-free winter travel. Give Hastings Auto Sales a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to St. Henry and will simulcast WCSM for that game, and the NFHS video will be available. On Friday, the boys will host the Redskins, and that will be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast with the NFHS video. Saturday, the Lady Indians will host Franklin Monroe with the JV game starting at noon, and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast with the NFHS video. Saturday evening, the boys will host Fort Laramie, and Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you that action live, and the 1971 Boys State Championship basketball team will be inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame between games. Lots of basketball this weekend, so make plans to get to as many of these games as you can. But if you just can't get to all the games to help cheer on our Indians teams, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Presale tickets for this Friday's home boys basketball game with St. Henry will be sold tomorrow in the high school office from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Friday, tickets will be sold in the high school office from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Presale tickets are $7 for both adults and students. All tickets at the door will be $8.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
And Fee replacements tonight, Jack and Bill, talking to Ed Snyder and Ron May from the 1971 basketball state championship basketball team. And on the phone, we have had join us Mr. John Wendell. And John Wendell was a big part of that team. John was a big power forward, I believe, if I remember right.
Center?
Yep. How could he be the damn center if Judy's in there at 6'5"? Huh?
Don wasn't getting in the middle of this stuff. He was
Don was out. He wasn't in there bruising too much. Is that what you're saying?
I was the bruiser.
Hey, John, welcome to Sports Talk. Glad to have you on.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Long time ago, we was talking earlier in the show, you know, and just to kind of, for anybody that's just joining on the radio, Saturday night, it'll be 50 years, actually 51 years, since the boys won the state championship, and they're getting inducted. That team is getting inducted to the Hall of Fame Saturday night. So for all you listeners out there, we sure hope you can come up there and join us. John, that's we're just kind of talking about. We start talking about a little bit before the season. Now we're talking about things that happened during the season. We're getting some background noise there, John. I'm not sure if it's your phone or...
That's Jack heavy breathing.
That is Jack heavy breathing. Jack's been in San Diego and Vegas. So
God.
He should have all the alibi.
Yep.
So John, what do you remember most about that 70-71 season? Is there any game that you stands out to you other than the championship game, of course?
Well, I would think that all the tournament games were very exciting, especially the ones we played down in Dayton against Catholic Layman, or Layman Catholic, whatever it's called.
Cindy Layman.
Yep. Layman and Clinton Massey.
That allowed us to get into the state finals. I remember that was a tough game. They're all special games. I mean, once again, it was just a great time to be on the team because the guys were just good guys. I mean, we had fun. We were a smart team. We knew how to run our offense and play defense.
Absolutely.
By the average score we average score of points, the number of points we scored during the year. Well, I think it was like 83, the 84.
One thing that is amazing, of course, I think we can all can agree that Ed led us in scoring that year. But one thing that's amazing is you go through that scorebook, and I'm not going through the scorebook. I was going through articles and how many different leaders we had from game to game in points. And it just seemed like everybody on that team at one night or another could do, you know, had his night and could contribute. And that, of course, is the makings of a hell of a good team.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree, Bill. The thing that you don't see in the scorebook, too, is that every one of those points had a lot of people that contributed to those points. Now, I probably shot the most, so I had the most
Gun.
Points. Yeah. But, I know I broke the school record that year for assists, but it didn't hold up even to the end of that season, because Kevin Dilworth had maybe 100 more assists than I did in that particular record in that particular season. So and Ron, Don, John, guys off the bench, they were all willingly able to give up the ball. And that willingness to be able to do that, I think, was probably our key factor. And that's why you see that there are lots of points and lots of different leaders for the team as you go through that book, is the fact that, you know, everybody was willing to give it up. And a competitive group and individually, you know, a driven group. But certainly I think the team aspect was the key thing that led us all the way to the state tournament and that eventual championship.
How deep did Coach Al go? Did he play?
Not very. No. You know, Wilson come in if John got in trouble.
So Mike Wilson would take, he'd relieve the big boys.
John or Don.
Yeah.
Or I.
Steve Reinhardt.
Not very often. Yeah. But, yeah. But we never dipped to the sophomores very often. No. As far as Steve and...
We lost John for a moment there.
Hello.
I think we're back here with John. Sorry, we lost you there for a minute. But
so we had Mike Wilson come in, yep. And then Steve Reinhardt would have been the first
boy.
Guys.
In.
Yeah, Mike was a big boy. Yep. It's a big yeah. boy.
And the key, I think John mentioned it, is defensively, we really gelled into a nice man-to-man team defense that year. I think, the big men for the other team not only had to be guarded by Don Judy, who was just a fantastic defender and a great shot blocker.
Yeah. His arms were 9 feet long.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and that great timing, and yeah. He loved doing that. I mean, yeah. That's one of the key things with defense is really wanting to do it. But we could double down with our guards, and we could rotate. Ron could guard anybody on the court because he was a physical player, and I was 6'1".
As long as they stayed out of foul trouble.
Yeah, and I was 6'1", and for a guard, 6'1", that was pretty tall back in those days. So we were able to do lots of switching, and defensively, we just became pretty doggone difficult to score against.
Well, how was it that I was 5'10", and I'm playing forward?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the problem with this?
Yeah.
What's the deal with that?
Man, you couldn't handle the ball.
I did pretty good.
Yeah, I can't remember. Ed might have been a little bit more of a finesse player than Ron.
Just a little bit more.
But not near as fast.
Yeah. No. So you know, with you four seniors, and then you bring Kevin into the mix.
Unbelievable.
Was there any type of a learning curve with that? Or, was there a thought that, Reinhardt's the senior, he's the one that you put in the time, was there any type of adjustment with that?
Kevin played with us during the summer. We played down the park quite a bit, and we played together then and pick up games and so forth. So there wasn't a whole lot of lag time there.
So you knew he was going to fit in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed?
Yeah, I agree. I knew Kevin very, very well, and of course we all followed each other when he was in the junior high and we were at the high school. He had already made a name for himself because he was just a fantastic player from the very beginning. He You know, was in the gym all the time, and
yeah, he was one of the few kids that was allowed in the gym.
He was in the gym because his dad ran the school.
As far as maintenance or cleanup or whatever. So while dad was cleaning the school rooms and the halls, Kevin's in there shooting.
And every once in a while, he'd get a little tired of shooting by himself. So there might have been some other guys that were invited in there once in a while to be able to do that. But he just was an unselfish player, so that worked out very, very well, and the skills that he had fit well with the rest of the team, because we really had five guys that could handle the ball pretty doggone well.
That's because he had more assists than what you had, Ed, when he graduated.
So who was your best competition for the county championship, who was good?
I see in St. Henry, maybe
St. Henry.
St. Henry, we beat them three times. We beat New Knoxville three times. We beat Mendon three times. And
Mendon had some great players back in those days.
Marion? They was close games. And Marion. Marion slowed the ball down on us, you know.
Yep.
At halftime, it was, 18 to 16?
And anymore right now, that's the average high school game.
Well, shootout. Don't forget, no three-pointers back then.
How many times did you guys play on the small floor your senior year?
Two times.
Is that right, John?
Twice.
Two times. Then everything else.
And who was it, John? I don't remember who it was. Ohio Maybe City? A Mendon and Ohio City. There you go.
My guess is they looked.
New Knoxville,
I believe.
But we played them three times.
I'm guessing on this, and you had numerous games in the hundreds, and I'm guessing the two games at Fort Recovery were probably in the hundreds, if that's the two teams you played.
Yeah. You know, we had a very efficient 84. Offensive team.
Knoxville was good. 91-84. Knoxville was very good. All three games we played them was very good.
So, offensively, we had five people that could score, and even some people off the bench that were really, really good players, and they could come in and score, too. So, when we were in the third quarter, if that was the end of the night, because we had a nice lead for the ones that normally started the game, the people on the bench could come in and score, too. So, they didn't do things like they do now, where you dribble out the last 20 seconds of the game. I mean, the guys that came into the game
wanted to score.
Hell yes. And coach wanted to reward them for all the practice that they did by giving them a chance to run the offense and being able to play good defense and do those types of things too. So it was a different game, but we played mostly on what in those days were considered to be big floors. So it wasn't like we were playing in a Cracker Box gym all the time. Some of our away games were on small floors too, but we just could score.
Yeah.
We had five people that could easily score points.
When we played Slina IC, where did we play at? We didn't play at the pit or at the...
No, I think we played them...
Probably at the field house, maybe?
No.
Maybe St. Henry. We played a number of games at St. Henry. We rented their gym a number of times.
Yeah. We played Bryant at St. Henry.
Yeah. Correct.
So your other home floors were either St. Henry or the field house, probably.
Yeah, we play a lot of games at the field house, especially when you consider our first four tournament games.
Slina IC, we was at home, but I don't know if we played it at home.
Yeah.
Yep. So, John, are there any other things that you specifically remember about games or the season or anything that while we have you on the phone? I guess we're not really running up a phone bill because it's cell, but...
Well, the one thing I do remember is whenever I screwed up a play or did something wrong, I always hear the thud of Coach Al's shoe come hitting the floor. No matter where I was at, I heard the shoe hit the floor.
I can picture him doing it.
John, what game did you have 25? You had a 25 game.
I think Mendon. Over 20 of them.
25. And that kick from Mendon had 33.
Yep.
I guess we're just lucky. I guess we're just lucky Snyder had 20 and I had 9.
An interesting point about that year is Coach Souter. And, of course, he just passed away at almost, I don't know what day it was, but wasn't that a year ago?
Yeah, in January.
Yep. And obviously, leadership, when you have those kinds of years, if you have a good program, you look at the leader, because that's where it all starts. But he was one of the calmest, kindest guys you would ever meet. But he did have a fiery, competitive nature about him. And I don't know if all people got to see that all the time. Yeah. But as John said, I can remember some of the comments that I think were meant mostly for motivation. But he'd get on you a little bit.
Yeah, I was
going
to say. So during those games, you didn't have a good first half. Did the type coach come in there at halftime and raise hell? Or did he just kind of always kind of keep it to a...
I think he just kind of told us what we got to do the next half and to get a W. That's what he was all about.
Yeah, he was a hell of a guy.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what.
Yep.
So I'd say we'll take a break here. Okay. John, you're welcome to stay on here as long as you want. We're just, like I said, we're talking about the season. When we come back, we'd like to talk about the tournament run. And I specifically want to talk to Ron about our game against St. Henry at the Fieldhouse.
Oh, yeah.
where I think... people talked about that game for years, and it had nothing to do with basketball, to be honest with you. But anyways, we'll just visit about that a little bit.
I can
damn the saint I ever seen.
I can picture
it
now.
I was a little kid.
I can picture it now, and I was not there.
Exactly.
But I can picture it now.
It was awesome.
We'll be
back. Okay, we'll be right back.
I need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
Locations in Van Wert, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Rossburg, and Coldwater. Start at $15.25 an hour for full-time production. Flexible options available too. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet with salad bar. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274.
Announcing Open House Week at Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, your local Case IH and Kubota dealer. It's Wednesday through Saturday, January 26th through the 29th. Open House Week is a great time for savings from our parts department. All parts are discounted. That's farm equipment, lawn and garden. All parts are marked down. And you can pre-order your parts now and they'll be ready to go when you stop in. Open House at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH and Kubota dealer, January 26th through the 29th. Stop in and save.
Hi, my name is Ava Shane.
I'm Sophie Pearson.
And I'm Ella Shane.
And we are the Fort Recovery girls softball team, and we're having our annual pulled pork fundraiser.
The tickets are just $8 each, and you can get one of Wendell's Barbecue's famous pulled pork sandwiches, mac and cheese, and chips.
The dinners will be available on Sunday afternoon, March 13th, and you can just drive by and pick them up at St. Joe's store from 4 to 6 p.m.
Contact any of us on the softball team for tickets, and we'll also be selling them at all the home boys and girls basketball games.
Don't miss out on the girls softball team's annual barbecue pulled pork dinners available on March 13th at St. Joe's store.
See any of us on the team to get your tickets.
Bye.
Bye.
The Wendelline Sports Club is having their winter barbecue chicken dinner on Sunday, January 23rd. Tickets are only $8 each, pre-sale only, and you can dine in or carry out. Serving is from 4 to 6 p.m. Call Bob Hart at 375-4346 for tickets. Don't miss Wendelline Sports Club's winter barbecue chicken dinner coming up on Sunday, January 23rd, with serving from 4 to 6.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
I don't think so. Hey, we are back to Sports Talk. having a great conversation tonight with some of the players off the 1971 team. And we've talked pretty well about just a little bit of everything, but mostly about the regular season. And one thing about that regular season, and I do remember, you can't, I might be wrong on some numbers, but I ain't wrong on this one. I can remember a player's parent from St. Henry, and I'll let you mention names. I won't mention names, but wanted a piece of Ron May's ass. Huh? Fair to say, during the timeout?
Yeah, probably.
Huh? What the hell did you do anyways?
He was being Ron May.
We go up for a rebound. Carl's got the ball.
Hey, man, you're throwing names out there.
I know. I didn't say a last name, but Everman. And I knew when he jerked for the second time, I better let go because my ass would have been up in the top
row.
Carl
was a big boy.
He was a big boy. Guy. I don't remember. 240 or whatever. So I let go. Everybody thought I elbowed him in the head or eye. No. He went nose first, straight down to the floor.
Because you let go.
I let go. I wasn't hanging on. Nope. Wasn't hanging on.
So, timeout called.
Well, he's laying there on the floor.
So, everybody goes when to the perspective
boy,
bench.
When the big boy passes out, you could just see it. He just
went down.
Yeah.
So, you guys went over to the bench.
I got Chuck Etzler on my back. And if you don't remember, we're playing in
Fieldhouse.
We're playing down, and I'm just walking up. Here comes Carl's dad. Love him to death.
Yep.
He doesn't hit me or nothing. Nope. We're not going that far, but he could have because Chuck was on my back, and I'm hanging on the rail. Yeah. I had no defense.
He was coming down the rail, and he was going up the rail. Yeah. I can remember that picture. Yeah. I remember it. That's just amazing.
Now, when Carl went down on that one, I can remember it very vividly also because not only what was happening with the people in the stands and so on and so forth, but when he hit his head, he hit on the front and it opened a cut. And the thing about the cut is they couldn't wipe the blood away because it cut underneath, but it didn't open up at last layer of skin.
Yeah,
so they kept, but it just kept kind of going, and it's just the ugliest looking thing that you could ever see. And thank goodness he was okay. But
sure.
It was something.
Hey, Carl passed out. The referee and I rolled him over. There was a pool of blood, and I'm done. I went back to the bench. That's when Dad's coming down.
Yeah. Wanted a piece of you.
Well,
so let me ask you this. This is what I don't remember. Was that the tournament game or was that the regular season
That's
game?
That's tournament. That was tournament.
Yeah. That was tournament?
Yeah, they had a really, really nice team. That team, I think, maybe only lost those three games, maybe one other game.
There was
game.
A Caney and a Worms.
Yeah, Bob Caney. And
a couple of knee camps.
I don't know about a Worms.
Probably Stommans.
Tom Stommans.
Yeah, yep. The Stommans and Caney.
John, I think really we lost good. You for a little bit. Are you there now?
Yeah, you lost me again.
Yeah, sorry, but I don't know what happened there.
John, we was just talking about when Ron May tried taking on the whole St. Henry parent section. Do you remember that?
At the field house?
In all three games, he did that.
This is when Mr. Carl Everman ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
That's just what... But the other thing I remember about that game is, speaking of Ron, you know, like most guys get in a deal like that, they're all fired up, you know, he came back and made a bunch of free throws at the end of that game to lock that one up.
It was a tough game. I thought that we won our two games in the sectional after we had lost that Versailles game in the very last regular mm-hmm. season game, and I thought that got us going a little bit. But when we really got going and really started playing at a very, very high level were those two games at the district, and we had to beat New Knoxville again for the third time. And as Ron said, I think the only games they lost were to us and St. Henry during for the whole season, yeah. And then we had to come back and play St. Henry for the third time, that kind of rivalry.
Who was on that team with St. Henry at that time? Do you remember any of the St. Henry players?
We're just talking Worms.
Marv Worms, probably?
No.
Wasn't there a Worms?
Nope.
Sparky, my fault.
There's a Uhlenhake.
Sparky, yep, Uhlenhake.
Canny.
Tom Niekamp.
There's a Canny on that
team. Carl Everman.
Yep, Bob Caney.
Bob Caney, yep.
Tom Stommans.
I took him out the first game we played him that year. Not on purpose.
No wonder they're damn
not on purpose. It just happened.
Ron was a physical player.
Yeah. Say that again, John. Sorry, we cut you off.
Ron was a very aggressive player.
Yeah.
That's what we needed. We needed that.
Absolutely.
Well, somebody had to do that shit, John. You and Ed was just lagging back. Kevin didn't want to get hurt because he had two more years to go.
And he weighed 130 pounds. Yeah, that might have had something to do with it, too. That always helps. Yeah. So I can remember about that thing. And I can remember. And then, you know, just, I'm not saying you're the greatest free throw shooter in the world, Ron. I really don't know. But you had some games where your free throw shooting carried our asses.
Well, every time I'd make 9 for 9, Ed made 11 for 11, you know.
Well, but we're used to him doing I think.
Well,
huh?
I was just playing out of my tree.
Well, Ron had the two biggest free throws, obviously, of the tournament when we were tied with Clinton Massey in the semifinal game. And, you know, most people, when you're waiting for your last shot, will just go ahead and, you know, try to stay away from the opponents. Instead, he aggressively faked the guy. The guy came down on his back. And so with, 15 seconds to go or so, he had to shoot two free throws in that kind of environment. And he stuck them right.
So let's just go through that tournament real quick. So you guys opened that tournament up, I'm sure, with probably not a real tough team.
Played Marion in the first
Marion
game.
Local. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you followed up with
Ohio City.
So you're cruising through the sectional.
Ohio City had some nice players, our balance kind of led us over that one.
And then there's the New Knoxville game, which was a tough game.
It was.
Hell of a tough game.
New Knoxville played us tough. I think we never beat them more than 7 or 8.
Yeah, so that was a hell of a tough game.
Three games.
Then you got a follow-up with St. Henry on the third time around, which you know is going to be tough.
Yep.
Against a hell of a good team, third time around.
Mm-hmm.
And you knock them off in a close game. So now we've won the district, and all those games were at Field House, wasn't they?
Yep. Yes, they were.
They were all at Field House. So then you were going to the regional again, and in a period of 5 years or 6 years, when Fort Recovery was a doormat, we are now probably where people are thinking, this Fort Recovery team, Jesus, they're good every year type deal. So you're going to the regional and you're playing Clinton Massey. And then that's when you was talking about that game in general was what?
Here's a team that we didn't know a lot about because they're kind of out of our area. Sidney Lehman was that way too, but they were a little bit closer. So,
well, and was that our first year going south?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was the first year of actually they went from a Class A, Class Double A, which it was in 69 and 70, but then there were three, so we were Triple A.
We were Single A. Yeah, big teams were Triple A.
I'm sorry, excuse me. But when we went down to UD Arena to play that game, we were playing against a team that was a little different style than we were used to. They played a really, really tough zone defense. I can remember at times we went inside, and it was really, really difficult for our inside players to get much in there because they had big guys, and they were strong, and they collapsed. We had to win that game a lot from the outside just because of the fact that they took away the inside.
Oh, that's right.
That was a low-scoring game.
Ed had 19 points. Yeah, Ed had 19 points, and I had 15. That's right.
Nope. Yep.
No. Ed could shoot.
Ed could shoot.
I mean, Kevin had it. Kevin get some points too, or outside.
Kevin had 8,
but that's a 57-55 game, which is a different score range than
the way you guys are used to.
John, those guys are talking about the inside game. What do you remember about that?
Clinton Massey,
The Clinton Massey game.
It was
game.
A beating inside.
Yep,
it was a beating inside. I think I got 4 points.
Absolutely right.
They
4 points.
Very good inside.
Yep,
that's because these guys beside me wouldn't throw you the ball, probably.
Well, Ed
was shooting it.
Okay, so you guys, first of all, let's ask about the experience of UD Arena. Because I don't think UD was very old at that. UD Arena wasn't very old at that
point. Had the tartan turf yet on the floor.
Yeah, so that had to be pretty exciting. That had to be pretty cool.
Oh, it was tremendous. It was tremendous.
That environment?
Great environment, and it was just tremendous.
14,000 people there?
Yeah, 14, probably.
Yep.
That would be really
and unbelievable. The first ones cool? in the gym were the Fort Recovery fans. There's no doubt
they
about
it. It was always there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So you beat Clinton Massey, and now first of all, we should probably say going into this regional, everyone knew we was not the favorites to leave that regional. Fair to say?
Sure.
Sydney Lehman.
We was ranked number one in the Lima UPI, and Sydney Lehman's ranked number one in the Dayton UPI.
So it was the two best teams was there, but Sydney Lehman was awesome.
Well, they had a team. They were just consolidated.
Sydney Holy Angels
had all of their starters back from the year before and had won like 15 or 16 games. And Piqua Catholic, who was the other team that joined up with that, they actually had won like 14 or 15 games too and had three or four starters back, which may have been one of the more difficult coaching jobs I think that their coach had, is to take all of that talent and put that together and make them so that they could play like a team, because maybe us playing like a team might have been the biggest difference in that game.
DeLong that we played against, his older brother was their coach.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, now this is coach. One. Hey, John, I was talking to these guys. I was a sixth grader at this time, and I talked about this earlier. I was a little shit, so I was a sixth grader.
Still in diapers.
But I told them, I said, I think, and I did not look this up, I think the first half of the Sydney Lehman game, John Wendell had a hell of a first half. Is that right?
He had 10 points in the first half.
I think I had 8 points.
He had 10 points first half, John.
He had 10 the first half? Did he have 10 the first half?
Yes.
First half. And missed the foul shot.
See, you did have. How many did he end up with for the game?
12.
12. So you did have a hell of a first half.
If I remember, the second half, Wayne had scored like 2 field goals. The rest were all
fouls. Oh, really?
Free throws?
We scored two field goals in the fourth quarter and 2 in the third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not very many for...
Look at Snyder right here. 1, 2, 3, 4 foul shots in the fourth quarter, 3 in the third quarter, and 4.
He was 11 for 11.
Second quarter.
How many did you miss?
None. Ed didn't miss any.
I missed plenty in my career, but I didn't miss any in that game.
They was freebie shots, and Ed cashed on them all.
And you know, what's interesting is... Mike Wilson played a little bit in the third quarter, and nobody else got in the game.
Played six players.
Yeah.
Well, the pace in the second half, because we did shoot lots and lots of free throws, was one that you really didn't need a rest because of fatigue. Plus, you're playing in the regional final.
Well, I just figured as big as Lehman was, they had some big boys.
I don't know how big DeLong and Frye.
Because they got in foul trouble, right?
That Ramsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jenkins. They had a good team.
Jenkins both fouled out.
Yeah, and they were in foul trouble.
When we played them, I think I had like 5 jump balls, and that's when you went to center court or foul line and jump. And I got all the tips. Yeah. These 6'4" guys couldn't out jump me. I could never out jump Don Judy because he had arms as long as a giraffe. But yeah,
it was a quick jump. Yeah. So was that winning that game? Do you think that was the hardest team you played in the tournament? Was that the best team?
I don't think so, yeah.
Not Cindy Lehman. It was probably the game before that.
Do you think Clint Massey was better?
Clint Massey.
I thought as far as talent goes.
Maybe Ed didn't play as well that game. I don't know.
I think talent-wise, if you look at it, they certainly had the most talent, but they were the kind of team that you could do some things against, because I don't know, they just didn't seem to gel like some of the other teams that we played. Now, Clinton Massey, I thought, was the best defensive team that we played against, because they just had a style that was more difficult for us to handle. We had some slashers. We had some drivers. We had some people that could get to the basket, and then they could kick it out, and we could make jumpers from outside. And they took away half of that game. For the most part, they were really tough defensively. So, I mean, that's just the opinion of a guy that's trying to remember 51 years ago.
Well.
But those are the kind of games you remember.
Yeah. What do you remember on that, John?
Same thing. They was a very tough defensive team. Offensively, we had a hard time struggling against that. Kevin's was unable to slice it like Ed said. And that was a big part of our game. But what's good, they're the outside, Ron out there shooting. we were able to overcome though.
No, Ed shoots. I drive in. Ed shoots from outside. Off, yep.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a break and then head to Columbus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's get ready for the big house.
All right.
So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Forrest Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrest, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrest Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrest Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Hello, I'm Harold Feely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales in Fort Recovery. With the colder weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking all fluid levels, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights for your worry-free winter travel. Give Hastings Auto Sales a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having a pork chop dinner on Tuesday, March 15th. It's carryout only from 4 to 6, and they'll be available for pickup at the elementary preschool entrance. These 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinners will be prepared by Two Willies Barbecue using the international award-winning Iowa State Fair recipe, and the dinner includes a smoked pork chop, baked potato with butter and sour cream, applesauce, and a roll. The tickets are only $8 and must be purchased by Thursday, March 3rd from any high school SADD member, and they are also available at the high school and middle school offices. The Academic Boosters are the group that recognizes students during our home basketball games. Get your Academic Booster dinner tickets before March 3rd for the 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinner at the school offices or from any SAD member. Then just head out to the elementary school and drive by the preschool entrance and pick up your dinners on Tuesday, March 15th between 4 and 6. And get a couple of extra tickets and get some dinners to put in your refrigerator for a quick meal later on. Just be sure to get your smoked pork chop dinner tickets before March 3rd.
Hi, my name is Ava Shane.
I'm Sophie Pearson.
And I'm Ella Shane.
And we are the Fort Recovery Girls Softball Team, and we're having our annual pulled pork fundraiser.
The tickets are just $8 each, and you can get one of Wendell's Barbecue's famous pulled pork sandwiches, mac and cheese, and chips.
The dinners will be available on Sunday afternoon, March 13th, and you can just drive by and pick them up at St. Joe's store from 4 to 6 p.m.
Contact any of us on the softball team for tickets, and we'll also be selling them at all the home boys and girls basketball games.
Don't miss out on the girls softball team's annual barbecue pulled pork dinners available on March 13th at St. Joe's store.
See any of us on the team to get your tickets.
Bye.
Bye.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
We're back with Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee. Although they're not here, me and Jack's trying to take in for their take their places.
And doing a piss poor job at that.
Are you thinking?
Yeah.
Them guys are, come on.
Yeah.
But anyways, we just got through the regional. One thing I want to bring up about the regional, a little tidbit, which I thought was interesting as hell, and I do not want to make you guys seem old.
We are old.
You ready?
We are old.
The weekend that we played the regional, Indiana hired Bobby Knight.
Yeah. Is that right?
I remember.
That's a fact.
I remember the Portland paper, who obviously gave us a great following. I remember they even held up printing their paper a couple of times to be able to get the results of our.
Indiana hired Bobby Knight when these guys graduated. Bobby Knight died eight years ago.
What was the date on that? Don Judy's birthday was March the 20th.
Is that right?
That was it's pretty close.
When we come home from Dayton, it was his birthday.
Yep.
Is that right?
I'll be damned. Okay.
So,
We win a big regional. We're going to the state. Let's talk about the atmosphere around town, because I ain't saying it's different nowadays, but and I'm not saying when you guys played it was Hoosiers either. But I can tell you, I can remember when Brian played, it seemed a lot like Hoosiers because we still played in that little gym, you know, more. And it just seemed like people were just, it was all so compact. And people were high school sports crazy, high school basketball crazy. And I know we were still high school basketball crazy when you guys played. So talk to us a little bit about, okay, so you come back to town and the place is on fire probably.
Oh, absolutely. You remember the little things like that, the celebrations. I don't know how many pep rallies we had, but it seemed like we would have one Friday before we would go play. We would have one in the gym on Saturday when we would come back. Then on Monday morning, we'd have another one in school to begin the day. We had guys that were dribbling basketballs to our game.
Big P. How far did Big P go to Salina? Who picked him up at the township line and took him to wrestling?
I was
going to
say, he did not go very far. There's no way.
I remember some.
I wish he was here to contradict that.
Was that 71 or was that 69?
It was 71, I believe. Yeah. I got a picture of that at home, and I was lucky enough one time to go to an auction down by where, close to where I live, and I bought a big pile of Fort Recovery journals, and I was lucky enough that those journals were through that time period. And in that picture is a picture of those clowns: Bretzy, Jim Rammel, Big P, Greg Bretz. Yeah.
Greg Bretz. Yep. Okay.
Just a bunch of those guys, and they were on. That the story is, you guys would know this better than I. The story is, they took off running. And Scoop Hastings did not get the picture. So he went out and got him out there by the curb, by Timmerman's, you know?
Yeah.
And brought him back so he'd get a picture under the stoplight. And then they took off again toward the field house. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff you probably don't see nowadays, you know, as far as teams that's having success. But
I remember a couple of our buddies they made up a radio station, WPYO, and they took a tape recorder, and they would actually be recording what was going on in the stands during those games. It
was was Bretzy doing that?
Alan Houck, I think, was doing it. Bretzy and those guys. Yeah, and so those are the kind of things that you really remember about that. But basically, it was just electric. It's something we had just not really ever done before. And it hadn't been done in this area before as far as teams. Yeah. Now, we've had a slew of them since.
Now, our 69 team went through it.
Yeah, we went through the trip and so on and so forth. Yeah, but I mean, it was just electric everywhere. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It's something you can certainly remember. I'm sure you guys remember it too. So
we're playing down at Columbus. So that would have been your second time to go into St. John's Arena?
Yep.
Probably?
Yep.
So you was familiar with what the hell was going to be going on. So that was probably a help with the environment and everything. So you're getting ready to play
Crestview.
Crestview. Yep. Crestview, coached by Ray Knight. I mean, Ray. Yeah. Ray Knight. Ray
Same Etzler. Thing.
Yeah, third baseman.
Bobby Knight, with Ray third Knight. Baseman. Yeah.
Ray Etzler. And then he's what? Chuck's what? He's Chuck's uncle.
Cousins.
Yeah. So Crestview, coached by Ray Etzler.
And that was Mr. Etzler's alma mater, so he's
coaching against his alma mater. Yeah, it was a big deal for him. So you guys going to Crestview and going into that game, pretty good feeling we're the favorite of that game.
Well, I know Ron wasn't at all in awe, because I think he had about our first 9 or 11 points, didn't you, Ron?
Yeah. The only reason you got 2 points that first quarter is because I missed a layup.
But he did. It was nervous time, but we had a confident team at that particular time.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, John, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't hear anything, so I wanted to be sure I hadn't lost you again. But while we're talking to you, what was your thoughts going into St. John's?
Well, I think I can remember the 6-9 team that went in there and had a good game, but due to the illness of Heidi and so forth, they lost. So I remember we had to make up for that loss a little bit by going back and winning that game. So I think we were very prideful of going in and very sound defensively and offensively. I mean, we're going to beat the Crestview, yeah.
So in the preparation, did like Coach Al bring up the 69 team or the loss or
never
use that as any never type use of motivation? That.
Never. Nope.
Didn't have to.
Nope.
This is what we got to do, and this is how he coaches. And now,
Yep. I got a text from Tom Souder, who is listening, and says this is absolutely awesome.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
So, hi, Tom.
Yeah. So, Tom was probably the guy back in those days. Like, he's probably a guy, he'd come to practice, and you guys would beat him up because he's the coaches. Is that what it was? Would you, guys
what
grab him?
Hit him too hard.
What? Jack, so what, Jack, you is what age? You're an eighth grader? Ninth grader?
How old would Tom been? Was you and Tom same grade?
I would say Tom was a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. He probably was.
When we, in 71, yep. He was a freshman?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tom was a freshman.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, well, man. Tom's dad was just a tremendous influence on those games in Columbus because he had that even keel about his personality and his way, but he had that fiery, competitive, and we could tell that this one meant a lot to him. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that you wanted to play well for every second that you were out there just because, you know, he did things the right way. And,
by this time, you know, he's an icon.
Oh, man.
You know, really.
Fantastic. Well, great guy to lead the program.
I went to Columbus about maybe 10 years ago when Coach Al got put in the Hall of Fame in Columbus. Yeah. Me and Dave Rammel and Bill Bechtel and Carlton Rhodes, maybe.
Probably Eddie Wehrkamp.
Oh, Eddie Wehrkamp, absolutely. Yep. We went up there for that. That was
that's really time. Cool. Yeah, that is cool. Okay, so you beat Crestview. That's probably on a, I'm guessing, I can't think of that was a Thursday night.
Yep, correct. Late.
Yeah. Late Thursday night.
And then our Friday morning practice in that gym we had. Practice. Boy, was that the worst practice of the year.
It's hard
to practice when you got... The next day you're playing for a state championship and you were up and, well, by the time we ate, it must have been close to midnight before we got back.
Let me ask you that. So you guys get to your hotel and, you know, you're fired up. What the hell are you doing in a hotel? I mean, there ain't no way. Okay, boys, it's 11 o'clock. Let's go to bed.
Drink a beer. Of course, Ed didn't. John, did you drink a beer with us?
No, I did not.
I probably did.
Guys, there's,
either, but,
hey, there's some whatever. People should not be listening here. Huh?
So, no.
But that's awesome. So,
yeah.
So,
it was a time to get off your feet. But you're right. It was hard to sleep, especially
So what the hell? So you guys talked about practice. So you played Thursday night. So did were they some gym, some other high school you went to or something?
It was Grove City.
I don't remember.
I think it was Grove City. Coach had arranged that. And, of course, I'm sure he maybe had something like that arranged for walkthroughs.
Yeah. Ed probably thought we didn't need a practice because he's an outside shooter. But, but we had a practice.
I know what I need to do. Yeah. Give me the ball, I'll shoot it.
Well, Marion Pleasant was a scary team by the way they played in the semifinals heading into that final. I mean, they had big inside players. They had guards that were impressive-looking guards and outside shooters and could get to the hole. So we needed some preparation to make sure that we were ready for that. And he had good scouting report. We got ready to go. It was mostly walking through things, you know, shooting free throws and those kinds of things, getting the kinks out. But it was effective, even though I say that it might have been our worst practice of the year because it was just hard to practice that morning.
Absolutely. So you're getting ready to play for the Saturday game. So
early. It was an early game.
Early game.
11 or so. 10:30 maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Early game. So you guys play that game.
I didn't know 10:30 come twice a day anymore.
What I remember about that game. Oh, no. This is the wrong year. I can remember the 69 year. So my dad, Jack, you're with me. I remember this. So dad, he got tickets, of course. He takes us to the game, takes tickets to the game. So he walks us up to the balcony. So we're up there in the rafters watching us play Bridgeport. I mean, yeah, Bridgeport.
Yep, Bridgeport.
And then he goes down to his nice seat down there in the middle of Fort Recovery fans. So me and Jack's up there watching this game from the, you know how that balcony was like in St. John's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Straight up. When we watched you guys play, we had a little better seats. But so anyway, so I know it was a morning game. We're playing Marion Pleasant. I think we, I ain't going to say we dominated, but I think we was, had control of that game, fair to say.
Yeah. We did well.
We defensively were effective after an early start by them. I think it might have been a one-point game at the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
But then after that, our defense started to lock in a little bit on their key scorers. And offensively, I remember Kevin and Ron and even myself a little bit, not as much myself as Kevin, was able to get inside their defense and just distribute the ball for nice shots.
Yeah. Kevin destroyed him.
He did. Yep. He was so tough getting inside that defense.
Don Judy had a bunch of points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
So the celebration. So you win. Is there like a letdown at that point? You know, I mean, is there
not at that point?
Hadn't been a letdown.
Hangover.
Hadn't been a letdown in 50 years, Jack. Or 51 years. No.
So first of all, so you guys are all probably at this point, you're doing interviews. Is that fair to say?
No. Yeah.
I don't talk.
Bullshit.
I don't talk on radio.
I seen you. A lot of newspapers have Ron May says this and this. So do they got you in some kind of? You go into some kind of room or something?
They must have tricked me. They had to trick me.
Bobby,
it did take much for Ron to talk.
Yeah. Say that again, John.
It did take much for Ron to talk. Fair amount of talking.
I don't know. He's not talking much tonight.
No. Bob Sraluka.
Yep. Salina Standard.
Yeah, from the Standard.
Yeah.
You know, they were following other teams at that time, too. Salina was really good that year, and they had lost late in the tournament run, too. So he really focused on us as we got to the state tournament. But I can remember him coming into the locker room, and they finally had to ask us to hurry up and ask him to hurry up with the interviews so that I think it was Canton Lehman was using the same locker room that we had for the next game. And, you know, those games were
tight.
A couple of hours or more after that. But, yeah, he talked to us a long, long time. Yeah. And then the Standard and the Portland paper, obviously, had lots and lots of coverage for us.
Well, I don't know, Ed. You remember a lot of more stuff about the coverage than what I did.
But just think about this, though. No, seriously. Think about it not from your perspective, from the sports world perspective back in Mercer County. You guys were the first. When you guys did what
nobody else has
we
done.
Had.
Salina IC was there in 65 and came in second.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's the closest. We were the first ones to win it.
So you guys did something, you know, that. And we had a lot of good teams back in from various schools, you know. And by God, 1971, Fort Recovery. Did it. They broke the ice.
I can remember Fran saying after St. Henry broke the ice with their, you know, he had great teams all the time. After he broke the ice, he remembers saying, I can't believe we haven't done this before. And, you know, I think there is something about that is getting there and getting the job done. Now, there are lots of things that figure into that. I mean, only having two classes before up to 70 and then having the third class in 71. And now we have four divisions you know, football and all the other things. So there are things that change in that.
Six and seven.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
Football.
And football. Yeah. Absolutely.
The game itself to me has changed also. I mean, I know there was no three-point line, and we had outside shooters, but
Ed
has outside shooters now.
Yeah.
And every team has a little different look at coming back in games and, you know, the way they play defense.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you defend to give up the two instead of giving up the three.
I've been one to ask for a long time, and maybe we people that were involved back in those days. Every team that I've seen in the last 20 years, every coach, every time somebody breathes heavy, they take them out and sit them down, put somebody else in. You guys basically played five guys until it was time to put the subs in. Am I remembering that correctly? And did every team do that?
I don't know about that, but Coach Al made us run cross country.
Yeah, yes, I was in that deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Cheated a little bit. Yeah, I was. 1977.
You and Goob Stogler.
Yeah.
You probably.
Chuck Stogler with me.
Goob, he'd sit on the corner until we'd come around the third time. And that, we run cross country. I hated cross country. I hated Coach Al for making it.
But you probably had. So you cross country. You got the guys like John Wendell, Ed Snyder, Kevin Dillard. Them guys probably, they probably enjoyed that cross country.
Oh, yeah.
But these clowns like you.
John, did you like cross country?
Not really.
I don't think Ed enjoyed it, but.
The thing is you couldn't do conditioning programs back then because it was against the law, or against the rules. So it was a great way for a coach to be able to get a jump on the conditioning for the season. Yeah. We were in shape.
That wasn't a problem. But let's be realistic here a little bit about that. Is defense now is probably a little different than what we played back in. I mean, seriously. I mean, from a standpoint of the pressure, and I just think it's probably a little bit more intense.
Ball pressure and hand checking and those teams was not nearly the factor back then.
Yeah, they called whistles for that stuff.
Back then, you wasn't allowed to touch.
Right. Yeah.
You wasn't allowed to touch the guy.
Yep, absolutely. Of course,
with all the fouls that I got, all the X's on mine, I must have touched them.
Yeah,
once
you must
or
have
twice.
Touched them a time or two. Yeah,
once or twice.
You got the bruises on them.
So easy, John. Easy.
So each of you have had sons that have been pretty successful in their careers in their basketball. So what did you tell them about your career?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I never talked to them about it. Go play the game. Go do what you do. Corey was very good in high school. Clark was great in high school. Casey's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't remember, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
She did what she had to do. And the boys, It is what it is.
They didn't play like you did, Ron. They played a different style of game.
They was a little slower than I was.
Yeah.
Well, and they weren't as good at
shoot.
They weren't.
Oh, no, they could shoot. I couldn't shoot.
They weren't as good at they weren't as good at taking the charge as you were.
Well,
I could take a charge.
Now, Jack, in answer to that question from my perspective, is I did talk to my kids and played about it.
Well, and that's a coach in you, too,
Well, I loved when I got out of being a head coach and my kids were getting into programs and I could run those little league programs and I could teach the game.
And you could see that in you, too. Yeah.
Well, I just loved it because that was the real joy to me, even in my last years of coaching as a head coach at the varsity level, is the fact that I could teach the game. And I think one of the key things to the team we had in 71 is that we were very, very intelligent players and learned the game and had skills to be able to go both ways, to be able to do
and they complemented each other.
I think you could probably
find people, if you asked them who the most valuable player on that team was, would you come up with 5 different answers. For various reasons.
It was 5 MVPs, there's no doubt about it.
Well, and you know, I mean, they had different skill sets, and
size.
Ron could do this and this, and Ed could do this, and Kevin could pass like an SOB, and John was a strength inside, and Don could shoot and defend. And
I can remember, now I never seen Ed play college, but I do remember going to see Kevin Dilworth play against Don Judy. Don played at Baldwin Wallace. Kevin played at Defiance.
Yep.
And they were both. And Don did the same thing at Baldwin Wallace as he did in Fort Recovery.
Yeah.
You know, if you got the ball inside, you better pump fake because otherwise you're going to eat it. You know?
You say Don Judy played against Kevin?
Yep.
Don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
In college. I was at the game.
I went to a lot of Don Judy's games.
Yep.
Didn't go to that.
Don was probably a senior and Kevin would have been a sophomore.
Yeah,
and he played pretty fine.
Don played with that record kid from Salina.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
So that was a hell of a team, you know.
So John, did you have any kids that played high school ball?
No, I did not.
No,
Okay, you know, I wasn't sure if you did or not.
Nope, I just watched my nephews and my brother's play.
Yeah. Right, you've had some, you have pretty good ones in the Wendell family, too.
Yeah, wrong way, Dick. He called the other day. He's in Florida, so he's not going to be up here this weekend unless he's changed his mind.
I think he's going to be there.
Really? Perfect.
That was 2 years later, though, when he made the basket the wrong way. Against
Walpole
St.
Joe.
Yeah,
that was so awesome.
Neil, I'll tell you what. Let's take another break and come back, and we can
close up. Yeah, sounds good.
We can wrap things up.
Bart, tell stories for another 3 hours.
There you go.
Easy.
It's almost dark. Ron, you got to go home.
It's dark. We'll
be back in a minute.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. New Lean and Mean TS6 Series tractors from New Holland and K&L Tractor Sales feature rock-solid reliability. You can tailor a model to match the tasks you do without sacrificing comfort. That's called being New Holland smart. Choose from four models between 90 and 115 PTO horsepower, two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive for added traction, and an all-weather cab or spacious flat deck platform. No matter how you outfit your TS6 Series tractor, you get rock-solid reliability. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales today.
I need a better job where the benefits are great, a family-friendly company with competitive pay, where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
We're offering $1,000 sign-on bonuses for maintenance and CDL drivers. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms. It's more than a workplace.
So my heater wasn't heating. My friend Tom said I should switch to gas, but Larry suggested I go with a dual fuel furnace. Then Martin said I should use heat from the ground. Geothermally called it. Then my wife said just call Reasoner. Sure enough, Reasoner Energy had them all. Train high efficiency dual fuel heat pumps, furnaces, and an amazing geothermal heat pump. Reasoner took a look at our place, and the next thing you know, we're all cozy and warm. Go ahead and talk to your friends, but make sure you also talk to my friends at Reasoner Energy, 419-678 48-58.
The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat chili supper on Friday night, January 21st. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with St. Henry. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the FREA Scholarship Fund. Get to the St. Henry boys basketball game early on January 21st and enjoy the FREA chili supper with all the fixins, serving from 4:30 to 6:30. The Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters will be holding a booster membership bash on Friday, January 21st at America Lanes following the boys basketball game with St. Henry. All current and newly signed up booster members in attendance will receive 2 free drink tokens. If you aren't a member, or if you have friends or family who aren't members but you think they should be, drag them out to the bowling alley for some fellowship, a few drinks, and help get them signed up. While tow-and-go tickets will be available, and maybe a few other raffles will be going on. Get out to America Lanes for the Athletic Boosters Booster Bash on Friday, January 21st, after the St. Henry game, and get yourself and your friends signed up to be members of the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
You go ahead and take it over right here.
Go ahead, Jack.
Well, we're back. Hey, I got a couple texts from Tom Souter. He just said, my dad always said that they were 5 All-State players on that team. And he's been sitting in his office at school working on scouting reports while listening to this. So happy that he got to listen. Great job by all. Special times and really special people. So,
thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
So he's a hell of a guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. That thing we did, 4 years ago, when Tom brought his team
here.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was fantastic. Yeah.
I think I can imagine what kind of coach he is to his players.
Yeah.
So we win the state, and you come back to the celebration, and it's really cool that there's still some 8mm movies out there of it. So tell me about coming back to that.
Let me ask you one question before Did Bretzi actually get pulled into the bus at some point?
Through the window.
Through the window.
Through the window.
He already said that, and I never believed him.
Yeah, he did.
Who pulled him in, Ron May?
By the hair or by his collar? I don't remember.
Yep. But he got in there. Huh?
Yep. He always told a story about
on the bus.
So you guys get out of the bus. Yes.
Coach Al hated Bretzi.
Yes. Hated him in a passion.
I shouldn't say the word hate, but he didn't like Bretzi very
much. He didn't care for you guys hanging around with him.
So anyway, so Bretzi always said he said we pulled up there, and everybody's getting out of the bus, and Al's standing there at the end of the bus, and he said, "Here he came, Eric." The end of the bus. He said, "How about that heart attack?"
I can only imagine.
Oh. Held him in the bus. That's a classic. Back to Jack's question.
So, like, you know, what do you guys remember about that day, or is it all just a blur?
Nope. No, it's not a blur. Come back on Sunday. What afternoon at 1-2 o'clock?
I remember we, on the way home, we had to. We evidently, people were meeting us everywhere with fire trucks and so on, and we evidently didn't get the word on one of them, so we had to backtrack a little bit to go back so that fire truck meet us and come on in.
You're talking about all the different towns coming
through?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
That's
really
cool. Burgs on the way and so on. And
cool. I remember the big sign in Jackson Center.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah, really? Is that the Reichert... Yep.
Excavating.
Yep. So I stopped there one time just to talk to that guy before they built the new house there, the older guy, and he said that he used to live at the corner of St. Henry Burkittsville and Carthagena Road.
Yep.
That's where he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he did that for every Mercer County team that went that way.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. Jack, it was great. And it's still pretty vivid as far as the memories go, but all the people... getting in the cars, then going into the gym and just having the floor as well as everywhere else in that little gym filled up, getting to speak and say thanks. And, you know, just the sense of accomplishment when you're presenting the trophies to the administration. And it was just well orchestrated for, you know, something that's pretty much off the cuff. But it was just a time to remember, and you know that sense of accomplishment just kind of starts to sink in when you're going through that, and have everybody that's been following you, and not only for them to thank us, I guess, for you know playing as hard as we did and doing as well as we did, but also for us to be able to thank them for the support, because don't underestimate what that support does for
you. That's right. Never take the fans out of the equation.
Oh my!
Well, as you guys can relate now. Now, as we look back at that, of course, you as players think we'll never forget that. Us as fans, like you know, we memorize. So that was so etched in my memory as a basketball fan, as idolizing that team and you guys, and you just think you'll never forget some of those things, you know. And you know the thing about that would always get me is like. The Dayton Daily News had us on the front page. Now that was like the Dayton Daily News had the Fort Recovery Indians on the front page.
Now my dad was a milker, so 7 days a week, 2 times a day. He also ran a milk route for the Equity Dairies down here.
Milk route,
Ed
and his brother would ride in the back of the milk truck and come to our house when we was fourth or fifth graders.
Yeah, his line was always
didn't know who he was, but I found out soon.
Yeah. His line was always, "I don't think I'm going to be able to make the game this time."
Yeah.
And then I would be going to the game,
and you get a text.
But pretty much in front of the line, I'd see Dad there, and he'd be waving at the bus. He made it to every game.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But that wasn't easy. You know, you played 11:30, and you got to milk, and you got to run a milk route, and you got to get to Columbus by 11:30 in the morning. But those are the kind of things you remember. You know, the things that happened, and personally, how you're involved in that.
Speaking of your dad, Stud was awesome.
Yeah.
But that just reminded me, I don't remember seeing it. I did get to the state final game. That was one of 3 games I got to see that year. But supposedly, my dad was the only Fort Recovery fan that got on the floor at St. John Arena, and he was escorted off. of course, because they wouldn't let anybody on there, but somehow he got on there. I saw a picture it was far enough away I couldn't tell who it was, decades ago. If anybody has a picture of where you can tell if it's my dad or not my dad, the only spectator on the floor. I would love to have a copy of that. That's cool. You know,
you can hang that right over your head.
Somewhere. I just want to. And they, you know, he got out on the floor and they dragged him right off.
So, you know, it's interesting because 15 years later, 20 years later, I'm walking through a turkey barn. And on the wall of this turkey barn, okay, is May Judy Wendell Snyder Dilworth. And there's a basketball in this, there's a hoop in this old barn, you know. And you know there was some fourth and fifth grade kids that were in that barn that were playing Ron May and Ed Snyder and shooting foul shots or going against each other. And it's kind of neat to think he had that effect on young people.
Now, that's really flattering. It really is. And, you know, it was just a tremendous experience. Great year.
Unbelievable. Well, let's take one more break and we'll come back. We'll close
and talk
a little bit about the Hall of Fame and just.
And what's coming up Saturday.
And what's coming up. Yep. Very good.
Hello, I'm Harold Feely, owner of Hastings Auto Sales in Ford Recovery. With the colder weather here, don't forget to have your car winterized. This includes testing your battery, checking all fluid levels, and testing your coolant. We will check your brakes, tires, belts, wipers, hoses, and all lights for your worry-free winter travel. Give Hastings Auto Sales a call at 419-375-4617 for all your automotive needs.
Winter's here, and what helps warm you up better than a big old pot of chili? Wayne Street Market has everything you need for your family's favorite recipe. All kinds of seasonings, beans, tomato soup and tomato juice, fresh and canned tomatoes, onions, peppers, crackers, shredded cheese, and of course the ground chuck. Get everything you need to help warm up your family with a big pot of chili at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet with salad bar. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, the Lady Indians will travel to St. Henry and will simulcast WCSM for that game, and the NFHS video will be available. On Friday, the boys will host the Redskins, and that will be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast with the NFHS video. Saturday, the Lady Indians will host Franklin Monroe with the JV game starting at noon, and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast with the NFHS video. Saturday evening, the boys will host Fort Loramie, and Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you that action live, and the 1971 Boys State Championship basketball team will be inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame between games. Lots of basketball this weekend, so make plans to get to as many of these games as you can. But if you just can't get to all the games to help cheer on our Indians teams, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
And we are back. Hey, it's been a hell of a lot of fun for me tonight because I love basketball, and I especially love Fort Recovery basketball, and to be sitting here talking to these two clowns and listen to John on the radio or on the telephone. It's been a hell of a...
Well, I told him we'd talk about a half an hour. It's been 2 hours. No.
It's been a hell of an
enjoyable
night.
Thanks for calling, John. We appreciate it.
Because like we talked, you know, this was not only something that you guys will never forget, it's something that a community never forgets. And me and Jack was at that age where, my gosh, we would have, when you guys walked past us, we thought, oh, geez, Ed and Ron may just walk by us. You know, that was just the way it was back in the
day. No, well, with Ron, see, I was a freshman when these guys were seniors. So there were some guys that you want to make sure that you take the other hallway. If like they
head rubs, noogies, and all that good stuff. Oh yeah. So I just want to take this time to thank Ron, Ed, John for calling in, it's really been enjoyable as hell, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday night. So for all you listeners out there, again, hope you can make it up to the gym at halftime of in between games, JV and varsity game. We'll be inducted in the 1971 state championship team into the Fort Recovery Athletic Hall of Fame, and then after that, it's always kind of neat. We'll do that, and then we'll come up to the KFC Hall, and we'll be watching video of the state championship game and the semifinal game, and drinking maybe a beer or two, and then
sandwiches sometimes.
And everyone is welcome to that, and that's always an enjoyable time. So if you ain't doing nothing Saturday night, for all you Fort Recovery basketball fans that reminisce and love that type of, love the history of Fort Recovery basketball, we sure as hell hope you can join us. Jack, I don't know if you got anything to add on that. But
well, just if you come up and watch the video, you'll see Don Judy kind of carrying these guys' asses.
No doubter. Judy and Dilworth and Wendell carrying these two guys' asses here beside us.
Bill, you were one of the persons that helped honor Dave Neff with this Hall of Fame thing that we're doing. You know, he was a great fan, and we certainly appreciate the great fans of Fort Recovery, and we appreciate the booster clubs and all those things. When you do that type of thing, and every year I was lucky enough to be inducted as an individual earlier, it's just a real joy to be able to reminisce about those things. And it's fun to be honored, but it's even more fun to be able to get back with the people and to talk about those things and to bring those memories so that they kind of stay fresh, because as we get older here, it's a little harder to keep them fresh.
You know what? That's what's kind of really cool about this year is usually, you know, you have one or two inductees or maybe sometimes three, and you reminisce about their achievements just like we are tonight, except for this time, you guys will get together. Probably haven't seen some of these guys in a long time.
It's been a while.
You know, and it'll be kind of neat. You know, not only will we be at have the joy of being there also, but you guys can see each other and talk about how Ron May really wasn't that good.
And well, thanks for your work in that Hall of Fame, because it is a great thing. And I
appreciate it.
I'm glad you get a chance to do it.
And just sitting there and you, Ron, talking about you, Carl Everman, and you talk about Doyle Sheets from Crestview. You talk about these different guys. You know, and so often these competitions later on turn into friendships, and those things that you used to bang heads about, you can get together with those same guys, and it just creates some pretty cool memories.
Yeah, very cool. Again, thank you guys for joining. Anything you guys want to, in closing, anything you want to say?
See you Saturday night.
John, you coming over?
I'll be there.
Perfect. Oh,
fantastic. Appreciate it.
Awesome. See you Saturday night, everybody. Hey, this is Jack and Bill closing for Bubba and Fee, and we're glad everybody joined us. And again, we hope to see you up at the ball game this weekend, and enjoy. By the way, Friday night's huge too, because they're selling Krispy Kremes up there at the boys' game. Oh, Krispy Kreme donuts, Neil.
And before the game, it's the FRAA chili supper.
Yeah, we're talking Krispy Kremes.
Yeah, but it's chili
Krispy
supper.
Krispy Kremes.
And it's St. Henry.
I might buy 8 dozen.
And it's St. Henry.
And it's St. Henry.
And it's St. Henry.
Hey, oh, I think maybe we could recreate your deal with Carl Everman?
Probably won't happen. Okay. But if Carl comes, I'll be there.
All right. You'll be there anyway.
Hey, we'll see you, everybody. Thanks for joining
us. Thanks, everybody.
To Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee, broadcasting live from the Miracle Lane Studios in historic Fort Recovery, Ohio. Sports
Talk with Bubba and Fee was brought to you in part by community-minded sponsors and the sports department of this radio station. FortRecoveryRadio.com is the home of the Fort Recovery Indians.